Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. Yeah. Today, so many people here today. Look at.
Yeah, it's a party.
There's nowhere to sit down.
And me.
So it's usually who we are, what we are. These are questions we ask ourselves sometimes.
No. More of a philosophy thing.
Yeah, yeah. So we are the List Film Podcast. Clearly, you know who we are, or you wouldn't have downloaded this thing. We are a film podcast where we pick a film topic, and then we list and discuss our picks, our top five picks, whatever it is, actresses, best kiss in a film. We should do that. We haven't done that. Best pets, film pets.
Hmm? You talk about that every time.
I know. I'm teasing it. That's going to be our anniversary episode. When we get 100 episodes, favorite pets, guys. but it's usually four hosts. But today it's like three and a half men. Three and a half babies. What's that movie called?
What? Three Men and a Baby.
Three Men and a Baby.
I don't get it.
Wow. No.
Or Three Men and a Little Lady.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's Two Men and a Little Lady.
Hey-o.
And it's today, it's Ricardo, myself.
Jenny, me.
Brandon, me.
All right. You are you. You are you, and I am me. That's good. We know who we are.
This is me.
All right. And today we're talking about, which you probably already know by the title of this episode, we're talking about our favorite actresses, our favorite female performers, our favorite female actors.
Or maybe favorite female performances.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. Did you pick a specific?
Sometimes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I feel like I picked more like a body of work. You?
Yeah, probably. There are a couple that I just love their performance so much in this one movie that it worked out. But a lot of them, I just like them in everything.
Interesting. Kind of. Yeah. Yeah, me too. I came up with a long list, and I didn't number them. I'm gonna number them as we go. That's flying, you know. Yeah. It's a wild card today. Oh, they're coming to take us, the police. You hear that? Fuck. I picked wrong. All right. So
I love Katherine Hepburn.
I know. What did anybody see anything new in theaters? What's going on with you guys?
I haven't seen anything in the theaters in a while. Just been catching up on stuff on Netflix.
Ooh.
So after about a year and some change, I finally saw The Fighter.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Which is great.
You liked it?
No surprises there, I don't think.
Yeah.
But it was great. But his, by far and away, his sisters.
Yeah.
Everyone who played his sisters were amazing in every single scene.
Yeah.
And one of them, I can't remember who it is, but one of them is Conan O'Brien's sister, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The really, really redhead that looks like Conan O'Brien.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. That would make sense.
Yeah, once you really think about what would Conan O'Brien's sister look like, then you could really narrow her. You're like, oh, that's her.
Yeah.
Founder.
But Christian Bale was awesome.
Yes.
From the first shot of them on the couch, like the interview, he's got those crazy addict eyes.
Yes.
That he sustains through the whole thing. It was great. He was really good.
He was amazing. And I think, like, a lot of people give Christian Bale, like, you know, a lot of praise. But I feel like if it wasn't for Mark Wahlberg playing the straight, you know, like, he did such a good job just being like, hey, I'm just going to react to this guy, you know?
Yeah. You don't think he was just kind of playing a little too much Mark Wahlberg kind of walking through the thing?
I don't know. I feel like he could have hammed it up, but he didn't. I don't know. That's my...
He just always kind of played the Mark Wahlberg character, who's always just kind of upset about things.
Yeah. I guess you're right. But it's the best Mark Wahlberg I've seen.
That's true. That is what he
besides
does.
Besides Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
So, oh, and The Big Hit. Jenny, did you see anything in theaters or
I saw Total Recall last week.
Oh, that's right. We didn't talk about that, did we?
You might have. I was not here for
last
week.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
right.
So maybe you did?
Yeah, I did.
Well,
tell us.
Yeah. Is it out yet? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm like all confused. I think because sometimes we record and then switch to them.
Yeah.
I think
we're
it's good.
Up.
I think it's out. It's out by now. Yeah.
You can't remember when you saw Total Recall?
I can. Oh. Did
can
I see
you recall it?
Or didn't I see it? What did you think? Did you see it, Brandon?
No.
Okay. you chose?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll probably watch it eventually, but yeah. I just don't really.
It's not a priority.
See the need?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
I wanted to see three boobies and I got my wish. No, I didn't. I like Colin Farrell. I like Colin Farrell. They were okay. Yeah.
They didn't look real to me. I was like, well, those are fake boobs, obviously.
So. Well, yeah, but this is the argument I was having. The movie's PG-13, okay? And they showed the boobs. Wouldn't that qualify it for
nipples
radar?
And everything?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Like full-on boobs.
But they're fake.
But the thing is that...
Because no one has three boobs.
But wait. Isn't when you look at a girl that has a boob job, aren't they fake too? But you can't show that?
Yeah, but not the exterior. They're not fake on the outside.
How do you know they didn't use real human skin?
Well, I guess...
On
like
her
Silence,
boobs?
Silence of the Lambs style.
I guess I don't. I didn't know this was so investigative. I didn't come prepared with my notes. I'm pretty sure they're not.
We had a whole discussion about this that night. I was like, but you can't see fake boobs in porn. That's still awesome.
I know.
But Verhoeven originally tried to find somebody, with four breasts.
Oh, wow.
He was trying to find an actual person with four breasts, but I guess he couldn't find them, and he ended up with the special effects for three breasts.
Are there people out there with four breasts?
Well, I guess the thinking behind that was if you're going to have multiple breasts, you would probably have four genetically as opposed to maybe an additional.
Okay.
I guess that's me guessing.
Maybe, yeah.
That's probably completely wrong.
That's the only thing.
So many people with three breasts are going to email you.
Yeah, like, whoa. No, you're
guys
are
not
wrong.
That is not how it works.
Well, think about it. They always say, oh, I have a third nipple. But they never say I have a third and fourth nipple. I never heard anybody say that.
That's true.
See?
But I don't think a third nipple is actually a third nipple. Isn't it just like an enlarged birthmark usually?
It's never actually a boob. It's birthmark.
Of course not. But it could be a nipple. What qualifies a nipple? As a nipple?
Lactation, probably.
Not, I mean, guys have nipples.
Guys can lactate.
Oh. Man, we're getting deep in this conversation.
I have nipples.
I have
Greg,
nipples.
Can you
milk me? but yeah, what did you think, Jenny?
I mean, it's completely different than the first one.
No, I'm talking about the boobs.
Oh, well, it's completely different than the first one.
She already said they weren't...
They were obviously fake. I don't know.
No.
Fake boobs don't turn me on. I don't know.
It was clear...
That's gonna be it.
I'm gonna grab the little click clip and play it. Fake boobs don't turn me on.
I don't know.
So what? You didn't like it?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't not like it. I would probably give it like a B. I wouldn't recommend it for people.
How much
but
would you
it
pay?
Was,
$4. What you paid for?
I would do matinee AMC.
Okay.
Like seven.
Yeah.
I would do seven, but
you
wouldn't
still
go
to theater though.
Yeah, I would see it. Okay. I mean, it was visually really, really cool. I like all the actors and actresses in it. Yeah. It was still a cool storyline. I mean, I haven't read the short story, but
yeah, you know
heard
what?
It's well like that one.
Jessica Biel seems to continue giving actually really solid performances as a completely like somewhat forgettable. Like the A-Team. She was good in the A-Team, but not really.
Do you remember, though? Yeah,
exactly. She was good in Blade, I thought. Blade 3, which was otherwise awful.
Oh, yeah.
But she
was
pretty good in it. And it was like, eh. So how was she as the girl
she
in
performed
Total Recall?
Well.
Yeah, okay.
It's funny that she's such a...
I thought Kate Beckinsale was awesome in that movie,
though. She was.
She just surprises me every time that she's like, can kick ass.
Guy knows his wife.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's funny. She gets a bad rap. Like, I feel like... Every time you mention like Kate Beckinsale, like eh.
Well, because she's always in her husband's terrible movie.
I know, but
I think she's good.
Oh, she's good. That's what I'm saying. Like, I liked her in The Aviator. I liked her in the Gordon Green movie Snow Angels. She was amazing in that, and she was really good in this. She played like sometimes a girl will play like the tough, like a tough part, and you won't. You'll be like, she couldn't. And in this part, I'm like, yeah, I totally believe she's. She would kick somebody's butt.
Yeah, and she's intelligent kick-ass person, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, did you leave the theater feeling like, oh, well, okay, I needed that?
No. Oh, no.
Like, there was a good reason for that.
Yeah, no.
There was no reason for it.
No, I wouldn't recommend it.
No.
If you could pick any movie to go see in the theaters, I wouldn't tell you to go see Total Recall.
Yeah. That's what I think about. That's how I feel about remakes and how I ask myself, like, what happened? Like, was it something? It didn't, like, stick out at all. Like, why was there a need for that?
I'm fine with the remake as long as you inject a little bit of something different into the idea. I mean, it's like staging a play. I mean, plays are staged 1,000 different ways, but, you know, they're done in different ways.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. And, but it was fun. It was
good. I mean, it was really cool to see on the big screen, I thought. I mean,
I'm sure it looked great.
The city... that they lived in was awesome. The idea of having the two colonies was interesting, and going back and forth through the, I don't know if I should say that.
Well, we shouldn't say.
Maybe I shouldn't say that part.
Someone said something about the city being designed wholly on moving platforms.
That's not part of it. It's like,
and it looked like from the trailer, it's very like one of those futuristic, unlivable. Unlivable city. You know,
I'm like, how would you? Yeah, like exactly. Like
when you see a place like Asgard, and it's nothing but giant rooms where no one could do anything in.
Exactly.
And then stand around in there, their regalia.
I feel like you would need like a little like. Like hover around or a little like segue to get around Asgard. It's just so huge. Like or someone to just pull me around in a chariot, you know, or something.
Yeah. Well, they can fly a little bit.
I guess.
But they choose not to.
It's one of
those, I hate that, right?
Yes.
When someone has the ability to fly but they don't.
And they're like, No. Yeah, I'm Thor, but I don't want to fly. But then he's kinda like cheating because he's gotta like use his hammer as a propeller. I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Oh, that's cool, though. That is cool.
Yeah.
I take it back. I'm sorry, Thor.
All right. Anything else you guys saw?
I actually saw something on DVD, finally.
What did you see?
I saw We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Ooh. What did you think?
That's what it's called, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was intense.
Yeah?
It was really good. I really liked it a lot. I thought it was fantastic to know that side of the story because you never think of the parent in that situation ever. Like, you never think of them being this horrible, everyone treating them like
that.
I haven't
seen it, actually.
Oh, I thought you had seen it.
I actually haven't seen it either.
No, it's sitting, the Blu-ray sitting in front of my TV.
Oh, you have to watch it.
Yeah.
It's really, really intense, though.
Nice.
So maybe.
I know it was Kevin's number, like, top five of last year.
Yeah,
and she seems awesome.
Yes, she really is.
Is the husband John C. Reilly?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was interesting. I didn't know that, actually, when I went into it.
Really?
God, it's such a... I'm rethinking all of it. It's a crazy movie. Yeah.
That's interesting that you talk about from the other side, because I remember there was an article, like I think a long New York Times article or something written by a mother that was basically, what do you do if your child is psychotic? Like, if you just reach a certain age and you understand that my kid is insane, there's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah.
It definitely made me not... Okay, I already, like, hate the thought of having kids, and this movie made me, like, completely... It was the worst movie for me to see at this age.
Really?
I'm like, fuck kids. I'm not having kids. What if I end up with this guy? And I act like her in every situation and da da da. Yeah. Yeah, you just had to see it. But this movie completely made me not want to have kids at all.
Well, that's it. That's good, like, birth control.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just passes along at, like, high school.
Yeah. So that and Requiem for a Dream. Just play it to all seventh graders and you'll be fine.
Like, here, check this movie out, high school kid.
Yeah.
No, oh my God, this is horrible. But yeah, what did I see? That's it. I saw Total Recall with you. My recommendation. Yeah, I would say it's fun. It's cool action, but I'd say, I don't know, pay either matinee or just wait for it on Blu-ray or something. Redbox it or something.
A lot of people actually don't know what, I found out, don't know what We Need to Talk About Kevin is about, so I should mention that.
Mention it.
So you should go see it. It's about, or you should go rent it. It's on Redbox, so it's super cheap. It's about a mom who has to deal with her son who shoots up a school and is like a psycho killer. And they go back in time, like back and forth with where she is now and where she was in the past and her, you know, trying to figure out her life and what happened and why he did it. But it's really intense and
That's really cool. Yeah.
So you should, it's kind of like one of the, like Memento where it goes back and forth a lot. So at the beginning, it's kind of confusing. You're like, wait, what? And then you kind of get it.
Yeah.
But they don't do it black and white in color. They just do it all in color.
That's right. Memento was in black and white? Oh, no.
Part of it was.
Part of it was. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that. I got to rewatch
keep track
that.
Of
that's how you
get yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. What else? What else? We'll move on to Netflix stream of the week, which will lead me into the discussion of how... anyway, let's talk. So my recommendation for the week is Red Dawn. It's streaming.
I saw that.
Yes. Did you just see it recently?
No, this is unfortunate. I have not seen Red Dawn.
I haven't yet seen it either.
But you saw that it was streaming.
Yeah, I saw that it was streaming.
Okay.
But I've never seen it. It was on my shame list. I was kind of waiting for it to be on screen somewhere.
Yes, me too. And if you find that, I'm going to go with you.
Yeah, okay.
And I hope, you know, when it gets closer to the release date of the remake, they like put out like a print of it because I'd like to see it on film.
Yeah, and just to jump back a little bit, just because you reminded me, if you live in Los Angeles, at the end of August, Total Recall will be in 70mm at the Egyptian.
Yes.
Print. Oh. A print.
Yeah.
Of 70mm, Total Recall.
Yes.
The original.
You know what? Before we talk about Red Dawn, we should talk about... I didn't go see 2001 Space Odyssey because it wasn't... They played at the Egyptian here in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go see it because it wasn't on film. It was... What is it?
DCP.
DCP, yeah.
Digital Cinema Package.
Yeah. And so the people who said, yeah, I'll go see it. I'll go see it that way, were rewarded by watching The Master.
That was The Shining.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, The Shining DCP.
It was DCP though, right?
At the Arrow, Santa Monica. Not that I'm sure anyone outside of
But still, games. Yeah. Like, it's like, hey, I'm going to reward you guys.
Which one is The Master?
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. With Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, it was the first public screening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Maya were there.
Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But yeah, it's kind of sad.
I wish
they would have shown it with something that was on film. Whatever.
But what I mean, I know this is not it at all. But what a great publicity move for the theater that is having a harder time finding prints of movies that are showing a lot of DCP films. Now people might want to check it out. And I would rather see something that was a print. Like they'd say the New Beverly or something, because it has a different feel, even if it's just psychological, I think it's worth something.
Yeah, it is.
But things do look great. I mean, some of those scans really do look phenomenal. The Raiders of the Lost Ark, one I saw the 4K was amazing.
Really?
Yeah. I think I saw 2001 at the Egyptian on DCP. I think the one I saw was DCP, and it looked great. That's one of my favorite movies, and it was phenomenal.
Wow. I was going to tell you something about a digital something. Oh, they also, I saw something, they were like showing something on Blu-ray.
Yeah, one of the spaghetti westerns. I think Django was on Blu-ray.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was unfortunate.
I might as well just watch it at home.
Yeah, that sort of thing, that takes all the
kind
of fun out of it, I think. Yeah. I mean, it's still on the big screen, though.
Yeah, I guess so. A good sound system.
Yeah, great sound system.
All right, well, back to, we fucking went way off topic. Red Dawn, I rewatched it, like, a couple days ago. I actually rewatched it twice. One last week and one this week.
It's one of your favorite movies, isn't it?
It wasn't on the list, but it should have been now. With this, I've rewatched twice already now, and besides the rewatches I'd done when I was a kid, because it was one of my favorite movies growing up, but I realize how, it gets a bad rap because it's like Patrick Swayze and all the 80s kids that are the stars of that movie. But that movie's pretty deep, I feel. Like, some of the themes it explores, like, one of the themes, it explores that these kids have to, like, literally, like, kill, become soldiers, you know? And, like, how that, they're not trained for that. And now, like, how that affects them and, like, it's just, it was really well done, and I forgot how well done it was and how all the little like subplots and sub themes that it dealt with. And I was like, wow, like this movie's, I'm surprised it even got made in the first place, when it came out. And it's a lot of great performances. C. Thomas Howell kind of stood out for me the second time. I thought he was really, really did really well. And same thing with Charlie Sheen. I thought he was like, wow. This is something, why, what happened?
He's always good. He gets a bad rap because he went nuts, but he's great.
Yeah. True. But yeah, so check that out, Red Dawn, if you have a chance. It's on Netflix streaming.
Are you excited then that they're finally releasing the new Red Dawn?
Yeah, I'm from what I've seen of the trailers and from what I've read, it's literally just, they modernized it. And
it's got an interesting cast.
Yeah, it's got an interesting cast.
Chris Hemsworth, another performance that people weren't expecting because the movie he was in was on the shelf for so long.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, so was the other movie he was in.
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. From people that I know that have seen screenings of it, they've really enjoyed the movie. And I'm looking forward to it just because this is the only thing I really hate. We were just talking about Total Recall, but when they remake a movie and they changed the names of the characters just for the sake of it, But they don't do nothing with, they know they don't do anything with it.
Right.
Where here, they kept the names of it, and it seems like, from just watching trailers and reading stuff, that they're going with the same kind of, like, character arcs and spines. So I'm curious to see, like, oh, I want to see that actor go through that thing.
Yeah.
That, you know. So I hope it's a little more true.
Well, the only thing they changed, they went back on, because the enemy was China.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Totally makes sense.
But then MGM went bankrupt, so they want to do business with China, and so they changed it all to North Koreans.
Yeah.
And that, I'm interested to see how they pulled that one off. Because they'd already filmed everything with the Chinese
and then,
flag.
They didn't reshoot anything.
Insignias. And, yeah.
They just digitally went and changed everything.
On this new one?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it should have been out. It was supposed to have been out, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, but then... And then, like, a year or so ago, but then they went back to change everything to North Korea.
Yeah.
Oh, so they filmed this, like, forever ago.
Oh, yeah,
before
yeah.
all this stuff.
Well, the two things happened. One was the same thing that in Cabin in the Woods had was they were MGM. Bankrupt. They went bankrupt. So it was shelved for a bit until they found out. Like,
well, then they wanted to do 3D with it.
Oh, yes. Right.
And so they spent a year trying to make it 3D.
And didn't work.
Yeah, and then they bailed on that one. So that was Chris Hemsworth's first movie, Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
And then this was going to be his second.
Yeah.
They got him right before. Yeah. He already cost so much now.
I know, and it's so funny because now they have, like, free, like, hype.
He comes with It's like, it's same with PETA. Josh Hutcherson. Yeah.
Yeah.
PETA.
Yeah.
I'm sure PETA costs a bunch more now, too.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of hype, lot of fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. And, like, Channing Tatum, too. I mean, because they pulled G.I. Joe 2 supposedly to put more Channing Tatum in because he dies at the beginning and he's a big star now, whereas before he was not.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I heard from somebody who saw a screening of Red Dawn that he's like, just. Forget that it's North Korea or whatever crew. Is it North Korea?
The crew? The North Korean crew?
No, Korean crew. Is it the dance crew? No. Is it North Korea, right?
Yeah, it's North Korea.
He's like, forget.
Who has absolutely no capability of, of fighting a land war.
That's America. I know. That's what he said. He's like, just imagine in your head that it's China. And he's like, it makes perfect sense in the movie and stuff.
Wait, he still said that? Even though he doesn't want... It to look like China because they're trying to work with China. He still said, imagine it's China anyway.
It was a friend that saw the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Like yeah.
No, a friend saw the movie and he's like, just imagine it.
Yeah,
it's a title
card before the production logo. That says, listen, everything says North Korea. Just think about China.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And it only plays here in the States. They have the title card. When he goes overseas, they take that title card off. But yeah, check that out on streaming, and then we'll see how that movie fares when it releases in November.
You almost said fails.
I know. Oh, well. All right, you guys want to get into the list? Or you just want to talk about anything else?
Sure.
I should put mine in order, too. I forgot.
All right.
Well, you go ahead.
Since Brian's the guest, he's going to go first.
Okay.
Okay.
I demand it.
Well, I'm not going to go in any particular order, then.
All right.
So I could be going front to back to front, mixing them up. You don't know.
Whatever you want.
this one I feel like someone else would pick too, but Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, I would choose my honorable mention.
Honorable mentions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think she deserves a little better than that. And so I'm going to name her first.
She was on my list, but I just took her out when you mentioned her.
That's what fluidity gives you.
Yeah.
But no, she's great. I mean, she's... I have yet to see. I may not like the movie so much that she's in, but she always gives a strong performance. Hannah probably comes to mind with that one.
She
was weird in that too, though. They gave everyone a weird accent.
Yeah. What is up with that?
Yeah, but she was still good. Benjamin Button.
Yes, mm-hmm.
She was great.
I really enjoyed her in Aviator.
She was good in Aviator.
Yeah,
but I think my favorite performances of hers were the only part I liked of I'm Not There. Where she played Bob Dylan.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
With Ginsburg. That's right. David Cross's Ginsburg. Yeah. And Coffee and Cigarettes, which people don't talk about that much.
Yeah.
But I really loved her thing where it was her and playing her sister, the two roles going back and forth with one another. That was really great.
That's, you're right. That she
the Jim Jarmusch, right?
Yes.
Coffee and Cigarettes? Okay.
Yeah.
The
Black and White.
Series of vignettes.
Yeah.
Bill fucking Murray.
I love that movie. I forget how much I enjoyed watching that movie.
And of course, Galadriel and Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Oh, and Life Aquatic.
That's
many times Life Aquatic will show up here.
Yes. Yeah. I just remembered I was going to bring her up in that movie. She was really great in that.
Oh, she was great. The helicopter ride?
Yes.
With Bill Murray?
Yeah. Everything she does is, like, I feel like is a lot better because she's in it.
Yeah.
Really good actress.
Yeah, she's really great.
Veronica Guerin.
Yeah, you know, I never saw that one.
That's good. It's one of the movies that you watch without... It's hard to do this. Watch without seeing who directed it.
I don't know who directed it, so that
okay.
Helps.
All right. Well, when the movie starts...
Paul W.S. Anderson or something?
No, it's Joel Schumacher.
Joel Schumacher. Oh, okay. I'm okay with Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, I am too with some things, because I'm like, oh, he did that? What the hell? He always surprises me when... Because I still have that bad taste of Batman and Robin. That's the thing.
But everyone knew what he was going to be. Everyone knew what he was doing.
Yeah. And everyone was okay with that at the time, I feel.
Yeah. Because Batman Forever was the same thing. Batman and Robin was just Batman Forever turned up to 20.
Oh, yeah. 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 You're right. Damn Schumacher. But yeah, that movie's good. You should check that out. Colin Farrell's amazing in that, too.
Phone Booth.
Phone
he
booth.
Was good in Phone Booth.
He was good in that.
Joel Schumacher. Joel Schumacher.
Oh, yes. You're right. That was him, too. I forgot.
Yeah. I liked Phone Booth.
Damn it. Lost Boys.
That was an interesting one, yeah.
Yeah. Good pick. Did you have him, yeah. Jenny, on your list? Have her, sorry.
Have him? no, I didn't, but she's definitely one of my favorites,
yes.
For sure.
Excellente.
Yeah, she's great.
Good pick, sir. Jenny?
So, my number 5, I'm going to go with Frances McDormand. That was my number 5.
Ooh.
I was going to do that one. I'm glad someone else said it.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah.
Good pick.
Her performance in Fargo alone is good enough for me to have her on my top 5 list. I love her in almost all the... She's just perfect for Coen Brothers, dry humor.
Well, she's married to one of them, too.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. She just got that humor.
Yes.
It's awesome.
A lot more professionally satisfying than the Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, relationship. Yeah. It is. You're right.
Yeah.
No, she's amazing. She was, I remember my favorite thing I think of hers is, one of the many things is The Man Who Wasn't There.
Yeah.
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 I love her in that.
She was great in that.
She was having the affair with Gandolfini.
Oh yeah.
That movie was shot in color, right? And then transferred to black and white.
I would assume so.
Yeah. I think that was the case. Really good cinematography.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Roger Deakins. But she is amazing. What are the movies? Fargo?
Most recent, Moonrise Kingdom. She's funny in that one, too.
Yes, you're right. And then
wasn't she in Raising Arizona?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She played the couple that comes to visit her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dottie. He's like, Dottie wants another kid. who is that actor that plays her husband in that?
He's
what are you talking about? He's like, I'm talking about love. Talking about Amore. Talking about swinging.
I haven't seen Raising Arizona. That's another good Netflix streaming. Is Raising Arizona.
Yes.
It's on Netflix? Mm-hmm. Nice. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Burn After Reading.
She was great in Burn After Reading.
Yeah. That movie's really weird.
It took me a couple times to watch it before I liked it. I didn't like it the first time I saw it. I was like, nah.
It's like The Lady Killers, but better. Like, it's that sort of...
weird.
Kind of Coen Brothers...
Yeah,
I don't want to say diversion, but just it's different a little bit than what they normally do. Yeah. Just the more slapsticky stuff. But
yeah.
I'd say the movie I like the least of theirs is Intolerable Cruelty. But The Lady Killers, I love Tom Hanks in it.
Yeah.
I just love his characterization.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's just really funny. And it's so fun. And yeah, but anyway.
I haven't seen Lady Killers or Intolerable Cruelty.
Really?
I've heard that they're not very good.
I would suggest maybe Intolerable Cruelty, but not The Lady Killers.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
One's
right.
Got George Clooney in it.
Yeah.
The other is Tom Hanks, but it's Tom Hanks being bad, and no one wants to see that.
He's
not
still...
as good. It's Tom Hanks being not as good as Tom Hanks can be.
No, that's true. That's true. All right. Good pick. What else what else stands out, Francis?
Blood Simple, right?
Oh, yes.
I mean, but let's get out of Coen Brothers.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, let's get out of the Coen Brothers. Jenny, throw one at me. What do you got?
I don't know any of these other ones. I'm sorry. I got nothing. You want to look?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Miller's Crossing again, but that's Coen
Brothers.
Yeah.
Probably their best.
I would say so. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll go to my number.
She was in Primal Fear?
Yes, she was in Primal Fear.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Totally forgot about that.
Oh, and Wonder Boys, too. Oh, Almost Famous.
She's a mom.
Yeah.
She's a mom.
She's great Almost Famous. She's great in Wonder Boys, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll move on to my number 5. I picked Joan Allen.
Joan Allen's great.
Okay. She's just such a tough lady. We were talking about tough ladies earlier with the Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
But this lady is tough. Like, she's just like, in the two Bourne movies, Bourne Supremacy and Ultimatum, I really dug her. Like, that really kind of, I was a fan of hers before, but that movie kind of just, like, I was like, wow, I forgot how amazing she is. And how, like, her, like, she has such an amazing screen presence, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's just a tough, tough lady. And, of course, she's in Pleasantville. She's amazing in that.
Oh, yeah. I like her in that.
I really liked her in The Ice Storm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot she was in that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I just remember the Bourne movies because I just rewatched them before I saw Legacy. And she's amazing.
Is she in the new one? She is in the new one.
She's in the new one.
For like a few minutes, right? Because it crosses over with the very end of Ultimatum.
Yeah. Well, no, not both. Ultimatum and Supremacy.
Oh.
It's kind of going on at the same time as both of them.
I see. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. And then I'm seeing the thing for Face Off. I forgot she was in that. And The Notebook. She plays the mom in that, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's good. She's really good in everything.
Don't talk about The Notebook.
Stifle yourself. Stifle the tears. but yeah.
There's not more boys here.
I know. So that's my number five, Joan Allen.
Nice.
Joan Allen's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go a little bit older now. Grace Kelly.
Okay.
Nice.
Number four, Grace Kelly. And it always... I feel like it's always a toss-up between North by Northwest and Rear Window for my favorite Hitchcock. And it probably Rear Window edges out just for its perfect simplicity. Yeah. Just the setup, everything. But Grace Kelly's made the shot of her kissing James Stewart awake.
Yeah.
You fall in love immediately.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
She's great in that.
Was she...
To Catch a Thief. Dial in
for
Murder.
I was just ask you that.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't an actress for very long.
Yeah. Who did she marry?
She married the Prince of Monaco.
Really?
Yeah, she's Princess Grace of Monaco.
Wow. She was good.
Oh, she's great.
She's great. But yeah, I think my favorite, I'd have to go with North by Northwest on that.
Yeah, it's usually North by Northwest.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like it's so grand, yet it's so like personal too.
I just, Rear Window, it always gave me Raymond Burr always gave me the creeps.
Yeah.
Just the way they lit it off his glass, like his glasses would shine just like a light.
Yeah.
So it looks like a demon, like some shots that really mess with your perceptions about the scene. But I love Rear Window.
Yeah. And you're right. It's just really simply made, but yeah, so great.
Did you ever see someone did this? It was an art exhibition. If I find the link, I'll put it up for you to put up. Mm-hmm. But someone cut together, they took out all the shots in Rear Window and composed it into one kind of landscape of the apartment complex.
Oh, wow.
And so the whole movie plays through looking at like one picture of the apartment complex, and the whole movie plays in sequence.
Oh, wow.
Like to the Bernard Herrmann score.
Score.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh, geez, that must have taken forever.
Oh, God, I know. It looked painstaking, but it is amazing. It's just one photograph where the whole movie plays out.
Wow. You got to find that link.
Yeah. I'll send it to you.
Yes. Good pick. I'm in with this lady. I like it. Jenny?
Okay, so my number four, I'm going to go with Natalie Portman. That's my number four. Yeah.
Another one was almost on there, yeah.
You went with a young choice. I like that.
Went young.
Mixing it up. Chopping it up.
A little bit mixing it up.
She's been doing it a while, though.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
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 She's Heat. The professional.
Yeah. Leon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She...
God, she's amazing in that.
She is. It's amazing how I feel like some child actors, like the way they act when they're a child, meaning the craft of acting, the way they go about doing it is one way. And then they grow up and I feel like they kind of like lose their way. Like they can't figure out like, how would I do that? Because I mean, I feel like...
Because their identity is so much wrapped up in them being a kid, but smarter, so they can take direction.
Yeah. And also I feel like when some kids are so good because they're not... They still have that switch in their head that tells them. It's like when kids play, you know, like, oh, we're cops and robbers. When somebody shoots you, you don't question the fact that oh, it's just my finger shooting you. Like, you're literally like, oh my God, my guts are all over the place. And that's what transfers over to child actors, I feel like. That's, they have that gene where it's like, oh, this, we're not playing. You really shot me. Do you know what I mean? Or we're really, you're really yelling at me and stuff like that. And I feel when you get a little older, you, like, whether it's cynicism or whatever it is, you start losing that. And some child actors can't make that transition, I feel. Like, oh, now I'm an adult actor and stuff.
Right, so you feel like they tone it down a little
bit. Or like, yeah, or they overact or something like that. But Natalie Portman, such an, she just consistently done good work all the way from when she was a child. Mm-hmm. There's no movie where I'm like, yeah, she was weak in that.
Even if the movie itself wasn't good, thought she was fantastic in it.
Yeah. I'm going to exclude her from, she never made the Star Wars episode 1 through 3. She wasn't, in my head, she didn't do those. Those don't
Anakin,
exist.
Anakin, you're breaking my heart.
I feel like.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Let's not talk about that. Because we're going to go in.
It was
deep,
bad,
deep,
badly
dark,
written. Badly written.
Bad places. Garden State. I love her in Garden State.
Now, let's talk about Garden State real quick. I was going to bring it up, I think, a couple of episodes ago. Have you guys seen that recently? Like, rewatched that?
It's probably been a couple years.
Yeah.
No, but I think I know where you're going.
Where am I going?
Well, I think it's a thing that hits you at a certain... That's a sort of movie where if you skew a little bit older in the audience, it is complete bullshit.
Yes.
Like, it just feels so ham-fisted and corny and ridiculous and dumb and so cliche and everything. But when that movie came out, which was... When did that movie come out, Garden State?
Like 2004.
2004, okay. I was much younger. It really hit. It hit hard. I loved the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Got really into the Shins. Like everybody did.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I did go back and watch it, I would be a little upset at how much I loved it at the time. A little bit like Swingers.
Yeah.
Swingers was such a big part of my life, and I think a lot of people's
lives.
I think
we talked about this last time.
Yeah, we probably did. That I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I rewatched Swingers, and it still holds up for me. It still holds up.
Okay, but did you rewatch Garden State?
I did, and that's why I brought it up.
Okay.
Because it does feel like that. Like, fuck, this is bullshit.
Oh, no,
this is
really?
Bullshit, yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while. That sucks.
Yeah. Of course, there's the cute hipster girl who is attracted to him when no one else is, even though he's, you know, a national television star and is obviously very handsome.
Yeah.
And he's broody and mopey, even though life's pretty good for him, you know, even despite his circumstances.
Yeah.
Okay. And
it's just one of those weird things that you're at the right place at the right time. Something really drives home.
Yeah. And I agree with everything you said. Like, it's just the music, it's the right tone.
I probably still love the soundtrack.
No, I still do. And I think the thing that really holds up for me in that movie is Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Like her, who her character was and everything she did.
It's really easy to fall in love with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, like, accept the fact that, oh, yeah, she could really have this thing. Like, the illness she has.
Yeah.
I forget what, you know. But it's, yeah, I think she holds up really well, and I think his friends hold up. Like, Peter Sarsgaard, I feel like everybody has that douchebag friend.
Yeah.
Who you're like, why am I friends with this dude?
Yeah.
He's kind of like a bad person.
Yeah, and probably I can think of exactly who that might be, you know,
in
my life. It could be a few different people. Yeah. And I think for me, at least, that time was when I was starting to kind of move away from all those people.
Yeah.
I think, like a lot of things, just have to be a certain age, and it really hits home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. So, good choice. And, of course, Black Swan. She was amazing in that.
Yeah.
And I liked her in Brothers.
You know what? I never saw the remake. I saw the original.
I never saw the original. But it was an okay movie, but I kind of liked her in it, I thought.
Yeah, interesting.
I liked her in V for Vendetta.
Yeah, yes. I liked her in V for Vendetta, too.
I didn't... A lot of people, like, came down on that movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no problems
with it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. A lot of people did.
Yeah.
But I love the comic. I love the movie.
Yeah. There's a movie I once saw on an airplane.
I don't like Watchmen, if that helps with my cred about whether or not V for Vendetta is good.
Yeah. I agree with you. I saw this movie on an airplane once, and I saw half of it. I was on my way to New York or coming back from New York, and I fell asleep. And then when I woke up, it was I started halfway through, and I quite enjoyed it. And it was Natalie Portman, and I want to say Susan Sarandon.
Oh, Anywhere But Here.
Yeah.
Or so, Where the Heart Is. One of those two. Yeah. And those two came out at the same time.
You could have also just made up those titles, and you were probably close to it.
They were from the heart.
Yes.
I know. Something with hearts and
Anywhere Is Where the Heart Is.
Hearts and Clovers.
Oh, Anywhere But Here is the one with Susan Sarandon.
That's the one I'm thinking
of. The one with Ashley Judd is Where the Heart Is.
Yeah, no, not that one. The one with Susan Sarandon. And I quite enjoyed it, and I now, not until now do I know what movie it is. So, excellent. All right. And so, should we move over to my number four?
Yep.
My number four is Sally Field.
Ah, yeah. She was on my list.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
She's just great all around. Like, I felt like the best part of Spider-Man was Martin Sheen and Sally Field.
Yeah, I loved them in it.
Like,
I loved them.
Didn't you think, like, man, I could have done with, like half the movie just being about his home life. And like, why the fuck didn't you find out who killed Uncle Ben? What's going on? You just forgot, you idiot.
I thought it was important to you.
Yeah. I guess you didn't love him, jerk. but yeah, Sally Field is amazing in, like, I remember her, like, this movie with Alfred Molina, not Without My Daughter.
Okay.
Where he's like Middle Eastern, then they move. I'll give you the quick gist of it, Jen. You haven't seen it, right?
What is it?
Without My Daughter.
No, I haven't.
So basically, I don't know what country Alfred Molina is from the Middle East. Okay. He marries Sally Field here. They have a kid. He moves them back to where he's from. Well, they move back, and he turns out he's a dick, and he like hits her, and he's a jerk. Well, he wants to leave, but the country he's from, women don't really have any rights whatsoever. So she's got to like smuggle her child out.
Okay.
Without being caught, and it's called Not Without My Daughter. And it's like gut wrenching. Alfred Molina is amazing. I love him. And Sally Field is amazing in that. And she's not only like a great dramatic actress, but Mrs. Doubtfire. She's got some funny moments in that, and I love her in that.
Yeah.
I think my favorite Sally Field is Soap Dish.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Very interesting. She someone who could play Tom Hanks' mom very convincingly.
Yeah,
really good job on that. I thought she was amazing, and in that movie, she was also in
Steel Magnolias.
Yeah, have you guys seen Eye for an Eye with Kiefer Sutherland?
No,
creepy ass movie. I'm not spoiling it. It's in the trailer, but Kiefer Sutherland plays like this crazy, like Southern criminal. He rapes Sally Field's daughter.
Oh, wow.
That's how I'll leave it. And yeah, Eye for an Eye. Check it out. Really creepy.
And Sybil.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm probably sure everyone had to watch in high school.
Yes.
Was that just me? Yeah.
Or was that movie like a made for TV movie?
It was, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was a TV movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like that's something like Craig.
That's the one about the girl. She's got multiple personalities.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Which actually, I guess, she did not have actually multiple personalities.
Yeah. Turns out it was made up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
it was one of those things that, like, the idea of multiple, but she was the progenitor of like a lot of cases of multiple personality was not actually the case. Yeah.
I gotcha.
But she was great in it.
Yeah. I think my favorite performance of her is from Absence of Malice.
I've seen that.
The Sidney Pollack film with Paul Newman. It's just so good. I won't even say anything. Go see Absence of Malice and not go see it. Where would you go see it? Rent it.
Go see it.
Go see it in the cinema. Yeah. It only costs $2.
It's Sidney Pollack, you said?
Yes. And it's amazing. Wilford Brimley's in it. Pre-diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yeah. But yeah, Sally Field, my number four.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh. Wow.
I love that.
How come no one said Smokey and the Bandit?
I know. I was waiting.
Do you ever take off your hat?
That.
He's all, I only take off my hat for two things. Yeah.
I love that movie. I just actually saw it last summer for the first time. I finally saw it, and I still liked it. I mean, I heard that I was told that I probably wasn't going to like it, and I still liked it. I like her and Burt Reynolds together, especially the behind, what do you call them, the gag reel?
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
They're so funny together.
Burt Reynolds should have a reality TV show where they just follow Burt Reynolds.
Why hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Burt Reynolds at the IMAX store, you know? It's like him buying an Applebee's. He's asking questions.
Someone else brought this up, but in Smokey and the Bandit, so they're bringing a shipment of Coors down to a party. So the whole movie, this Coors is just sitting in the back of the truck.
Oh, yeah, it's hot.
Being jostled. Yeah, not only that, but being shook.
Yeah.
Shook to all hell.
Yeah.
And everyone's excited when the Coors gets there, you know, piping hot.
Yeah, I know. And also, why the fuck couldn't they get Coors where the party was at? Was it a dry county? I don't remember.
Yeah, that's a southern thing.
Yeah, the whole point of it was that they couldn't get it in where they lived because it didn't sell on that side of the border or something.
Yeah, South still has a lot of dry counties.
Yeah.
I just remember, even as a kid, going like, why the fuck couldn't they just go to their local liquor store?
Hello, you can even get Coors Light.
Yeah. And I'm like, Coors isn't even that great a beer.
Yeah, like, come on.
That movie was like a huge commercial for Coors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sally Fields, my number four, Smokey and the Bandit. Take it away.
I don't know. I mean, they're all good.
I know.
But I like comedic actresses that never really get it. It's unfortunate they don't ever get real starring roles or anything. I think probably the queen of those would be Joan Cusack.
Oh, okay.
Who is always the funny, supporting friend.
The funny sister.
Yeah, the funny sister. Yeah. I think I was trying to think of at least things I've seen her in where she was an actually, you know, main character, probably My Blue Heaven with Steve Martin and Rick Moranis, which she's great in. And I mean, High Fidelity, Gross Point Blank, which he's in for a minute. And I was trying to think, maybe you guys can help me, is the movies where she plays John Cusack's sister, which is she's in Say Anything, I think, for just a little bit.
Yes, she is. Yeah. Say Anything.
And I feel like there was another one.
She's in,
Gross Point Blank.
But she plays a secretary. Yeah, she just plays a secretary.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. There's a ton of them, and I just don't know the
They're
exact...
in a lot of movies together, I don't know how many they're brother and sister in.
I know they are in Say Anything.
Yeah, Say Anything. I just don't know the only one. Okay.
Yeah, might be the only one. I don't know. Someone's yelling.
What about 16 Candles?
Yeah, no, they were just related. In the same movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then Toy Story 2, Toy Story 3, Jesse.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen Shameless yet?
No, I haven't.
It is
but
so
she's on
good.
It, yeah.
She's awesome in that.
Like, her performance... What I like about this show is you go from, like, laughing out loud to, like, almost wanting to cry. Like, oh, this is really sad. And she's amazing in that.
Yeah,
and
she's... That's why I picked her.
Yeah. Great pick.
I forgot she was in Addams Family Values.
That's right. Addams Family Values.
Yeah. She was in... what am I thinking of?
Which is my favorite of the Addams Family.
School of Rock. She was good in that.
School of Rock, yeah. She was good in that.
The Uptight Principal.
Yeah, but again, she, you know, she plays...
Never the lead.
No. Yeah, I'd like to see you be a lead in something.
I know. You're right.
That's true.
And you know, I want to see that. You're right. Good pick. The Cusack sister. I wonder if there's more Cusacks in show business.
I think there, well, not
I
in show
business. There are a couple.
I think they've turned up.
Right?
John, Joan. Oh, it's going to kill me. I feel like there's another Cusack.
John, Joan. So maybe there's a Jet. Joan, Jet.
Maybe Jet.
Yeah.
Jack.
Yeah. Juan, maybe that Mexican family.
Maybe got an Emilio Estevez thing going
She's
on.
She's got Juan and sister Susie Cusack, sister of Susie Cusack, John Cusack, and Cusack, Bill Cusack.
And Cusack. And Cusack's in a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm
thinking
of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Daughter of Dick Cusack.
Wow.
I just wanted to say Dick.
all right. Well, where are we? Number four. Was that your number three?
That's my number three.
Excellent.
Yes.
Okay. So my number three, I'm going to go with... Sigourney Weaver.
Nice.
Yeah.
She can do the really good sci-fi, like Alien, and she can do the funny, like, Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
Yeah, she was great in Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
As a computer.
Before we get into deep into Sigourney Weaver's career, Dean Parisel, the director of Galaxy Quest, is going to direct the new Bill and Ted.
Oh, I saw that. Yes.
Yes. I'm
That's
excited.
Perfect.
Excited.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Because Galaxy Quest is one of the most underrated movies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very long time.
I mean, it's Three Amigos, but whatever.
It's perfect. Yeah.
I still love it. I mean, because I love Three Amigos, and
it's just different enough.
Yeah, it's just different enough that I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Three Amigos.
That's also not exactly. There's something before Three Amigos too. I guarantee.
I'm sure
you.
There is. Yeah,
that's it's probably
silent
true.
Silent movie.
Yeah.
You know what I like her in? Heartbreakers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That movie's actually really funny.
It's really funny. Gene Hackman is amazingly funny.
Yeah, he is good in that.
And Jason Lee's in that, isn't he? Ray Liotta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
She's amazing. That and
who's the
amazingly good looking still.
Oh, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah. And a more serious role. Did you ever see Death and the Maiden?
Yes.
With Ben Kingsley?
Yes.
She was awesome in that.
She was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, I mean, Aliens. Alien.
Mm-hmm. Aliens.
Alien 3.
Alien 3.
Alien Resurrection.
Yeah. She's good in all of them.
She's amazing. And
oh, I forgot.
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, should we give it away?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fine. Cabin in the Woods. She's in Cabin in the Woods. Wait for her.
Yeah. We won't
she was good in that, too.
For that.
She's she good in good Paul.
She was great. Spoiler. I mean, you knew who.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know who she was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that because she's such a huge sci-fi, woman. And so now in all the new movies, she's coming out up, like, right at the end.
Yeah.
For things like she's like the one behind all. Or, oh man,
great.
I won't give anything away.
You're spoiling everything.
She's
Jenny.
Like the I'm main kidding. Person.
It's fine. It's been out a while. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. I think anyone who listens to this,
I've seen it.
Yeah,
they better
either
have.
Doesn't care or has already seen Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah,
give that's how like for all the movies though. Recently, it's like you don't see her face for a really long time. You just hear her voice, and then you're like, I've heard that voice before. Where do I know that voice? And then she comes out right at the end, and everyone's like, oh, I love Sigourney Weaver.
I loved her in Avatar. She was good in that.
She was good in Avatar. Having to say some terrible things, but she was good in Avatar.
I've only seen it once, and I haven't seen it again, so I don't really remember any of it.
I feel like that's a movie I don't want to. I don't ever have to see again in my life.
I don't need to see it again.
Yeah. It's when you kind of forget it happens.
Yeah. And
It's like everyone is all excited about The Artist. No one is ever going to talk about The Artist.
Oh, yeah.
Ever
nope.
again.
Nope.
Yeah. It's funny. I think it was Adam Scott who said, not the Adam Scott, but our Adam Scott.
Right.
Who said, people are like, you guys know Adam Scott? Our Adam Scott was
well,
saying...
I guess I know where he ranks then. Not the Adam Scott. You know, the one I don't know or I've never talked to or anything?
He's our Adam Scott. He was saying how, I think, I'm going to quote him. I think he said, it's a silent film by people who've never seen a silent film.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's very clear.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't watch it in theaters. I finally watched it on DVD.
I did, too. That's all I saw it on.
And it's like, no, not interested. I feel like if you're, like, I'm surprised you don't love it. Because I feel like if you're a woman in their early 20s, fucking loved it. People like,
I care way too much about movies to like it.
And
his father dies, so him and his dog go off to
God,
meet this hipster girl.
Yeah.
Meets a flapper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, who
no,
cares?
I know what you mean, though. A lot of people I know liked it.
Yeah.
Well, for the same reason you like anything in your early 20s, because you're dumb and you don't know anything. So you're just being exposed. Well, it's dumb, but you're being exposed to things.
Yeah.
And so you see a thing that leads you to other things. And that's the way life works.
Yeah.
So a lot of people see The Artist, and hopefully they go see some actually silent films.
Yeah.
And if anything, I hope that's where
so
inspired.
That they're like, oh, that's not so bad. I was able to sit through that and not be missing people speaking words.
But I feel like if you really saw a good silent film, you'd be like, oh, man, that movie was shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because because they didn't have sound to work with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hang out with movie snobs too much.
Yeah,
to like it. You guys have brought my high quality 20s down to my. Oh, I'm an angry guy that's gonna judge everything.
You have the taste of a bitter early
30-year-old.
So
we
forgot
Ghostbusters, by the way.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a really good-looking lady.
She is?
Yeah, still.
Really good-looking lady.
She is.
Yeah. Awesome. Great pick. All right. My number three. I went really young with this pick. And I went with Michelle Williams.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I love her and everything. I the only thing I didn't like her in, I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes with this, I wasn't... Great performance, but I just didn't give a shit. My week with Marilyn.
See, I haven't. I was going to say I feel bad. I haven't seen My Week with Marilyn. I haven't seen Meek's Cutoff, which I really want to see.
Yeah, yeah. And My Week with Marilyn, I just don't give a shit about Marilyn Monroe. I'm sorry.
But she was really good in it.
But no, that's the thing. That she was amazing in it. It was just like the topic. I'm like,
no, I didn't care about the movie either.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I like everybody in it. Emma Watson was amazing. The kid who played the young Kenneth Branagh was amazing. Mm-hmm. Everybody was great. Everybody. Was Judy Dench in that? No, I think Kathy Bates is in that. Who the hell am I thinking
of? One of those.
But anyway, I thought it was everybody was great in it, but it was just like, I don't know if anybody has Marilyn Monroe on their list. I don't want to spoil it.
No, I wouldn't say people would consider Marilyn Monroe. She was a star. That's the whole Marilyn thing. Yeah. She was a star. She wasn't a great actress. No, although I would say she was some like a hot.
The thing is that I
had to marry a millionaire.
More than none, I put people will be like, oh yeah, top five. My top five favorite actress is Marilyn Monroe. And I'm like,
have they seen her in anything?
I know. I'm like, she did two cool things.
Yeah.
She did The Misfits and For Me and then the Some Like It Hot. That's it for me.
Yeah.
But she's one of those people that just had the
star
thing.
Star quality.
Yeah, she had that thing.
Yeah.
If she were to walk in anywhere, all eyes would go to, she's just got that charisma, that thing you like watching.
I guess so.
Yeah, I wouldn't think of her as one of the best actresses, but she's definitely got that X factor that you need to be a star.
Yeah.
She was also really fucked up, which helped everyone be interested in her private life, and that added, you know, that adds another dimension, so that's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I'm no historian, but I think that's probably one of the first examples of, you know, a star's life being a mass media interest.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But to somebody who I really enjoy, Michelle Williams. you know, what could I say? I guess the latest thing that kind of like really blew me away was Blue Valentine.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic.
I haven't seen Blue Valentine yet either.
Oh, you have to. I think you'd like it a lot.
Yeah.
I know.
It should be in the list. I think that movie really, out of the movies I've seen in the last few years, that's one of the movies where, you know how some movies, I feel like, I don't know where you stand, but you're like, man, that inspires me to make something like this. And some stuff makes you jealous, you know, like, I wish I would have thought of this idea, or, you know. But I feel like A Blue Valentine is one of those movies that I'm like, wow, like, look, you're just telling a story about people talking about drama, about life, and it's really, really great.
Well, it's really the thing well that, if, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but it just hits your sensibilities so far that you're like, well, I could get somewhere around there. Like, that's kind of where I'm going for.
Yeah.
So here's a thing that someone made
that
is the thing I really like that I try to do.
Yeah.
So let me try to do that some more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're saying what I'm thinking that I couldn't say. Great. Good job.
No, we should try and say it next time.
Yeah, I know. Great. Good job at reading my mind. But yeah, that's what it really is. Like, just I'm like, wow, if this is working that muscle at its best, you know, like just great, great filmmaking. And
adaptation always leads me to writing.
Yes.
Yeah. Every single time.
I haven't seen that one.
You, Nicolas Cage adaptation?
Yeah.
No?
Oh. No, I haven't seen it.
You could borrow it.
Okay.
It's on DVD.
A great Meryl Streep role.
Yes.
I would assume someone.
You know what? I left her on the list. I assumed someone put her on the list.
Yeah, I was leaving her to see if anybody else put her.
No one put Meryl Streep on the list of people's favorite actresses.
Here we go. She's our Dark Knight.
Yeah, I feel like she's
when
like
we talked
obvious.
About superhero movies, we left out Dark Knight because
it's everyone's top.
Yeah. So it's like saying like Spielberg, putting Spielberg on your top 10 list of directors. We just assume you fucking love Spielberg, you know? So we'll just clearly everyone. Assume
Dark Knight is my favorite superhero movie, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Get out.
we'll just put a disclaimer on this halfway through the episode. Meryl Streep, clearly number one, and we just won't even bother saying she's number one.
Yeah.
Right,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Michelle Williams, Brokeback Mountain, that scene she had in I'm Not There. The Bob Dylan movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With her husband.
I forgot about that.
With
Heath
Ledger. It was amazing. It just so simple and really, really great performance there. Really deep. And then what else?
Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain. Yeah. She was great in that. Didn't she play she was Heath's wife in that too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where they met on Brokeback.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Schenectady.
I always forget that's the actual name of a mountain in the movie.
She was in Shutter Island.
Mm. I never saw that.
Yeah.
Is that on? It's on Netflix, I think.
DiCaprio. Yeah, Netflix is on Shutter
DiCaprio.
Island. I love Shutter Island. A lot of people hated Shutter Island.
I don't know why.
Hated is a strong word. I think a lot of people just didn't cotton to it as much.
And speaking of really great performances, I mean, not that this is a performance, but a woman wrote that movie. Really good writer.
Speaking of women.
I'm just saying, like we're talking about.
Wait a minute. A woman wrote a movie?
Yeah. Well, you don't see a lot of that.
In 2000, what was this? This was
in the 50s.
mean in the Steno pool? You mean the guy dictated to the woman who wrote it in the Steno pool, Shutter Island?
Think about it. You name me. You try to name 10 movies that came out last year that were written by a woman.
Yeah. No. This actually brings up an interesting point. And when you brought when you gave me this topic for a thing, favorite actresses. Mm-hmm. The only people I could think of off the top of my head, you know, it's like name 20 white people. Like, you're going to stammer for a little bit because it's such an obvious question, and you're trying to think of like 1,000 different things.
Yeah.
You can't focus. And so this, like, at the top of my head, I could only think of TV actresses.
Really?
And I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, ratio-wise, there's usually...
You're like Kelly Cuoco.
I was thinking like CCH Pounder on The Shield is amazing.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And because generally in movies, you've got like a 5-to-1 ratio of women to men.
Yeah.
And it's generally not, unless it's a very female centric movie or, you know, meant specifically for, you know, probably a young female audience.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of women in it. So you have, you know, your Meryl Streeps, you know, and your big stars, but not as much. Cause I was trying to think specifically of a lot of character actresses.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny that you're talking about this because
I don't know if I'm sexist cause I couldn't think of them or if there is actually, you know, I mean, or is that just so obvious that there's
I don't know.
Female workers in an industry than male workers.
I think
whether it be acting, or anything.
That's just the case. Isn't it, Jenny? What do you think? I think, cause I had a hard time. And also, what I don't know if there's a, I guess there are female character actors, but
yeah,
I wouldn't categorize that
people that were in like one movie, like Zelda Rubinstein or something,
in
Poltergeist, you know, like, you know, just a bang performance,
yeah,
and then not, you know, and I don't know if it's me,
I don't know, and also I thought of this, you don't see a lot of movies. You know, the ratio to them, that where the woman's the lead. Like, just, her, like, she's literally the lead. Like, the movie's about her.
No, yeah, it ends up being, like, a really big deal.
Yeah.
If she is. Whereas if a guy's the lead, that's, no one really
mentions. Yeah, it's like if someone does their own stunts.
It's just like, it's just like all black movies. I mean, when you think of that new one that just came out, Red Tails?
Yeah.
That was, like, a big deal because
because it was an all-black cast.
All-black cast. And it's the same thing with, like, plays and stuff, you know, it's a big deal. And You don't think of it if there's a white guy in the lead. It's just like, it's another movie, whatever.
Yeah.
But another white like dude. A woman, see,
and that's the thing. So it's like, is it so obvious that it's not even a thing? Like,
yeah. I feel like...
Do I just sound like naive being like, guys, there's not enough women in movies.
Yeah.
I feel like you're right. I think there's like a set number of really big women that are in everything. Because when
they get latched on.
Yeah, they get latched on to the same thing. Like Meryl Streep, she's in everything.
Yeah.
And Susan Sarandon is in every, you know, like all these big name women.
It's a joke. It's like, who's going to play Margaret Thatcher? Well, we'll get Meryl Streep.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Margaret Thatcher isn't alive, so we can't get her. All right, go to Meryl Streep.
Yeah. It's just one of those things.
But I know it sounded weird me saying like, oh, it was written by a woman. But it's true. Like, you know, we just don't see.
No, you don't.
You know? It
was a big deal for the woman. She, what's her face? Catherine... Whatever.
Bigelow.
Yeah, she was like the first woman director, right?
Yeah.
To ever win Best Director.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. And also, Sofia Coppola as a writer.
Yeah, Sofia Coppola.
I think she's the only woman who's been like won an Oscar.
Yeah, and then you got stuff like Brave, who was going to have Pixar's first female director, you know, left halfway through the movie to be replaced by, I think, two men.
Wow.
I may be getting that wrong. That may be false.
Wow.
But she was taken off, and now she works at Lucasfilm.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, she's making Star Wars.
Yeah, I can't.
I mean, just to start it off with, Star Wars in general only had like one or two women characters in the whole thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There's that.
And one of them was a robot. Oh, no, that's Spaceballs.
Yeah, I know. Blacks or Hispanics or. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, well. What are we going to do? We're not going to change the industry. But
oh, white men.
Oh, guys.
Sorry. Sorry.
But yeah, Michelle Williams was my number three.
Nice.
I'll scoot on over to you.
Number two. Boy. Let's say. All right, I'll do Rachel Weisz. You can help me with that. Weiss. Is it Weiss. Rachel Weisz?
Well, let's call it both.
Weiss.
I've heard Weiss. Rachel Weisz.
Rachel Weisz.
It's German, isn't it?
Rachel Weisz.
It's German.
I say Weiss.
And W is a V in German.
Yeah, Weiss. Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go with that.
Okay. Anyway, she's great.
Yes.
When I was a kid, I watched The Mummy over and over and over and over and over again. Yes. And also, sadly, Brendan Fraser's adventuring outfits.
They were cool.
He was really cool back then.
And, people forget that. People need to remember.
Yeah. You feel like you were like, oh, this is as close as I'm going to get to Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah.
And then they dropped that on you. You're like, oh, I didn't want that.
Going back to Cate Blanchett being good in a movie that's terrible.
It felt, watching Indiana Jones 4 was a lot like shitting your pants. Like, you're like, oh, man, I didn't want to do that. What happened?
The movie started.
What happened to me?
The movie started. Some guy three rows ahead of me just yelled at the screen, don't suck. And I was like, oh, what an ass. Like, that guy was the biggest asshole.
But
biggest
he was
asshole.
Right.
Yeah, and then at the end, I was like, ugh.
Sorry, you were right.
Sorry. You don't know. Asshole. You don't know I was really mad at you, but sorry.
I apologize.
You shook his hand.
Yeah. You're like, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And I feel it in my core now.
But probably I loved her in About a Boy.
Yes.
That might be my favorite movie that she was in. I thought she was amazing in About a Boy.
That's such an underrated movie. So like
really?
I think so. I think Hugh Grant overall is underrated.
I think Hugh Grant's pretty well
really?
Rated. At this point, I think he's pretty well rated.
Oh man. I love that guy. And I love that movie.
He's still a star and he got caught with a transvestite hooker, so I mean what do you gotta do?
Big stuff.
Yeah. And that movie is written and directed by the dude that did American Pie. First one.
Yeah. Chris Weitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his brother.
I think it was just Chris Weitz.
Oh, really?
Yeah, who did, and then Golden Compass.
Oh, wow.
And then also Enemy at the Gates. And I've refrained, because it was favorite actresses, I've refrained from commenting on sex scenes in the movie, or maybe how attractive Sigourney Weaver is in that one scene in Alien.
Yes.
I didn't really want to go there, but Enemy at the Gates, the scene with her and Clive Owen, like, in the dirt.
You're thinking of Jude Law.
Jude Law, sorry. Yes. Jude Law.
Oh, I remember the scene.
Yeah, the scene, like, when they're, like, in the trench, not, you know, literally trenches, but, you know, just lying in the dirt, you know, under the bag, and they have sex. It is just a great, and I'm not someone who really enjoys sex scenes in movies.
We talked about this in our sex scene episode.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Okay.
No,
this is trodden ground.
No, I'm just saying, but you're right.
I generally, it's generally perfunctory and really doesn't mean anything, and there's no emotion in it. It's just there to see the stars half naked or naked, whatever it is. But that one is really great.
Yeah. It was. And she was amazing. She was great in that.
Yeah, she's dirty. And like rough. Yeah.
And like they're even like the like fingernails.
Feel the their fingernails are dirty. It's just, oh,
like she like reached, there was a close up of her like reaching for like his like belt or something. And you could see like her fingernails are like, just dirty. And I'm like, that's really like something that you like take that for granted. Like, oh, like her hands would be dirty. She's like,
well, they're all, they're completely dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to hell. They were not married. I'm pretty sure they were not married.
Yeah. She's great all around. I just watched her in The Bourne Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I got to see it with a Q&A with the writer-director, Tony Gilroy. And he talked about, because there's like this undertone, like love story. Like just like obviously. Very lightly. But he's like, no. He's like, we didn't plan. We didn't write that. That's not in the script. That literally was just... like, hey, like, it's something that came out of, like, acting. Like, just like, hey, I care for you, you care for me, you know? Like, he's like, but...
there's just a subtext.
Yeah, he's like, that's all subtext. He's like, he was really, like, surprised as well, like, how, like, this came out of, they didn't plan it. They didn't write that in the script. That wasn't their statement. They're like, mm-hmm. why would you have a love story in this action movie? So they kind of stayed away from that. He's like, and it just happened. He's like, and I think it works well. And I think it works well too. So loved her in that. She was great. And
also Brothers Bloom.
Yes. Yeah. Very different performance.
Very weird from her, but great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about the first thing I saw her in. I guess it must have been in The Mummy that I remember way back in the day.
I think The Mummy was the first thing I saw her in, too.
Yeah, yeah. Great actress. You're right. She was good in The Fountain.
I haven't seen Constantine, but she's in that, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Constantine. She's great. I like Constantine.
Yeah.
It's garbage, but it's great.
No, I loved it. What are you talking about? Adam Scott and I love it.
Yeah, it's good garbage.
Yeah.
That's when I need to borrow really bad. Yeah. I have yet to see it.
But yeah, she's a great actress.
Just remember the cats have access to the underworld.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, I like cats.
They're the key. All right. We're number two.
All right. So my number two is going to be, and I don't know if I steal this from you, so I'm sorry, Diane Keaton.
Nope. I knew someone was going to pick her.
Thank God.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to put her on there. I love her and everything. And I just recently actually saw Annie Hall, what was it, like last year? So that's not even the first thing I've seen her in. I saw her in like other things, like, I don't even know. Like
Father of the Bride.
Yeah. Father of the Bride and First Wives Club and Family Stone and like things like that. And I still, like, I love her in all those movies. She's like super, I don't know. She's another
one that's really easy to fall in love with.
Yeah. Yeah. She plays everything really well. She plays a mom really well and makes you automatically like love her and want her in your family. But she also plays like this funny, quirky person. Like, have you seen Something's Gotta Give? Because she's really funny in that.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. A little nudity from her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just wanted to point it out that like you don't see a lot of like, I mean, besides Kathy Bates in About Schmidt.
Which was great. I love seeing Kathy Bates out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just chopping it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was great and Something's Gotta Give. Really enjoyed her in that.
Manhattan Murder Mystery.
Yep. But with Annie Hall, you really, really fall in love with that character.
Yeah.
She's a mess, but you see why, like, he falls in love with her.
Yeah.
And I love that scene where the voiceover and the subtitles. I mean, that's voiceover, the subtitles. And what, like, the subtext
is. What they're thinking of that person. Yeah.
And it's really well done, really well performed. And
Oh, and she's played against Sam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which it always actually, personally for me, it's always a toss-up between Annie Hall and Played Against Sam.
That is such a good movie, too.
I think it's because that was the first Woody Allen movie I ever saw, was Played Against Sam.
Yeah. I always go Annie Hall just because he directed Annie Hall and he didn't direct.
And Annie Hall is,
yeah.
But he wrote the play, though.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And I think he wrote the movie, too. But not, he didn't
I'm
direct.
I'm pretty sure he wrote the movie, but he didn't direct.
And then Godfather.
Godfather, man.
That's right. I always forget that.
I know.
And Godfather 2 as well. I was watching just recently, they were showing it on AMC, and that scene where, like, Al Pacino slaps her.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, like, he really slapped her. And, like, just seeing that scene play out, wow. It's pretty, it's pretty intense.
Yeah. I liked how they played off each other, her and Al Pacino together. Yeah. You wouldn't think of them being anywhere close to being a matchup, but it worked really well.
Yeah.
Because that makes it work with, you know, someone who is with someone completely different. And then they become someone else completely different.
Yes.
You know, by the time we meet them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because...
So they just seem like they shouldn't be in a relationship.
Yeah. And like, The Godfather, in the beginning of The Godfather, when, like, I love her because you're kind of, like, viewing this world through her. Do you mean? Right. Like, you're like, oh, that's Luca Brasi, and that's my brother. And, like, you're getting to, like, see this whole world, introduced to this whole world through her eyes.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the movie, you're like... When he closes the door on Annie Hall. And you're like, damn, you just light her face, you bastard. You light Annie Hall, man. You don't do that.
I know. I love that the first scene that they filmed for Annie Hall was the lobster scene. Which is what everyone goes to as being like one of the greatest, you know, romantic comedic scenes in any movie.
Yeah.
And that was the first one they did.
Wow.
That was amazing.
That's amazing. Good number two pick. Now I'm wondering what your number one is. Damn you.
I know. Well, we'll see.
All right. My number two is I went back to old school actresses, and I went with Madeline Kahn.
Madeline Kahn.
Yeah. You probably know her, Jenny. Do you know who Madeline Kahn is?
I've heard the name. I can't think of
it. She was in like Young Frankenstein.
Like... Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Blazing Saddles.
Oh, that's Anxiety. Right, yeah. All those ones.
I love her. She's so like sweet and like, I love her in Young Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's great. She's sexy. She's smart. Yeah. She's hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, and, yeah. If you look up her face, you'll know her.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't know her, if you don't know her name. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's her.
And where do you look up her face?
IMDb.
On my iPad. Okay.
And Paper Moon is the one that sticks out for me the most.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Tatum O'Neal was going to be on...
Your
yeah.
list?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Honorable mentions.
Well, I mean, both those performances are amazing.
Yeah, but she is great in that.
Yeah. Playing Trixie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love her in that. And
the
I
Blazing
love her.
Saddles. The musical number in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Will just always kill me.
Yes. Yeah. I love her conversation she has with Frankenstein in Young Frankenstein. Yeah. At the end when they're like married. Yeah. And I'm like, she's telling Frankenstein about the hamper. It's for your dirty underwear. Like, it's so funny. And the way she just plays it. And it's just great.
And the train scene with her and Gene Wilder.
Yeah. Not in the mouth.
Nope.
But yeah, love her, and she's amazing.
And Clue.
Clue.
Too, yeah.
You know what? I haven't seen Clue since I was a kid, so I can't.
What?
I got to rewatch it.
I still like it.
I know it's amazing. Like it. I just got to rewatch it.
That's one of those movies my friends hated me for because I hated it when I first saw it.
Really?
But I need to rewatch it.
You're like, it's nothing like the game.
It's not what I was imagining.
No, yeah. I just remember not liking it, but I feel like it has everything that I like in things.
It's so funny.
So I should watch it again.
It's good. Tim Curry.
Yeah, I know. Tim Curry does.
Yeah.
Tim Curry.
Yeah. I just imagine somebody getting out of that when it first came out, going to the theater and going, that was nothing like the fucking game, man. Stupid fucking movie. Just being really angry at that movie because it wasn't
a huge
nothing.
Game fanatic. Yeah. Just like the comic book fanatics. He's super into board games.
I just played it last night. I swear to God, it was Professor Plum with the candlestick in the study.
He's a huge.
What is this bullshit?
He's got a tattoo and it's just MB, Milton Bradley.
It was Milton Bradley.
Yeah. But yeah, number two, Madeline Kahn.
Nice.
Good choice.
Nothing like the game, dude. Go ahead.
All right. Number one.
Do your recap.
Oh, recap, sorry. Number five, Cate Blanchett. Number four, Grace Kelly. Three, Joan Cusack, Rachel Weisz. And number one, Angelica Houston.
Oh, nice. I'm glad you put her.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
She, I love Angelica Houston.
She was...
Me too.
There was a fist fight for my number
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Yeah, she is always... She is just always good. She's one of those... She's not... I wouldn't necessarily call her a movie star...
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have that kind of status where you call her a star, but she's got the movie star thing where she's always kind of playing Angelica Houston.
Yeah.
But always a character.
Yeah.
And she's, I mean, Royal Tenenbaum, she's amazing. Life Aquatic, she's amazing.
Yeah.
But The Grifters is my favorite Angelica Houston performance. She is awesome.
You know
in
what?
The Grifters.
I'll tell you my problem with The Grifters.
Okay.
I love the con man film. Love the con man film, and I felt like that was too bubblegummy for me as a con, a con film.
But she was
amazing. I don't want to take away from her any of the performances. It was just for me the whole movie itself was too like bubblegummy for me. But
I think in The Grifters, the con wasn't meant to be necessarily the focus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the con is the MacGuffin to have all the characters interact with it, which in a good heist or a con movie, that is what it is.
Yeah.
But as opposed to like, you know, Ocean's 11, which is, hey, let's just have these characters talk, or actually, frankly, hey, let's all go hang out in Vegas for for 6 weeks.
But really well done, too, I thought.
Yeah, but really well done. Everyone's very different.
No girl, in that set.
Yeah,
Julie Roberts was like yeah, just cart her in, see if she wants to.
Ellen Barkin in the third one.
Yeah,
was it Catherine Zeta-Jones in the second?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, the scene in The Grifters with her and John Cusack, where she's like, where she's trying to get it out of him, and she's like saying, "Oh, well, you know, I'm not even sure you're my son." Like trying to play on his like incestual feelings.
Yeah.
Like that is just, that scene is so dark.
Yeah.
And off-putting.
Yeah.
And she is great in it. And also, I'm going to go to television. We were talking about Marilyn. I actually loved Smash.
Oh, you watched Smash.
I loved Smash, which was an awful show. It was complete garbage.
She was in it?
Yeah, but the music was great. And she was the only one who, like, you felt like understood what the show was.
Oh, wow.
Which was, like, kind of a schlocky soap opera with, you know, set to a musical.
Yeah.
And she was awesome in it.
Really?
Yeah, she was great.
Well, I'll take your word for it. I'll never watch that show, but yeah, I'll take your word.
I thought it was great. Did you watch it?
Mia watched her scenes.
I wanted to, and I never got into it, and then I just kept hearing, it's all right. And I was like, well, I don't know if I'll start it.
Yeah.
It's worth it for her and the musical numbers.
Okay.
If you like musicals, I think you'd like Smash.
He hates musicals.
Okay, well, there you go.
I'm big into them, though, so I feel like I'd like it.
You'll actually be surprised at how good it is. You're like, oh, this is a TV show. These are actually really great.
Yeah.
I loved her in Adam's Family. That's Morticia.
Adam Sandler's Morticia.
Amazingly good looking, that.
And the best lighting, when they have the band of light always going over her eyes in every single shot in the movie.
Yes. And I also loved her in 50-50. I watched that.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen 50-50 yet.
She plays Joseph Gordon-Levitt's mom. And
she's
really good. Like,
yeah, she's good.
Yeah. It just, like... She just knows. It's funny because you're mentioning Smash and you're describing what I'm going to talk about this movie. She knows exactly what movie she's in.
Do you she mean? Gets the tone of it,
which is hard sometimes when you're reading a script, just like reading a script without, like, as an actor. You know what I mean? And I'm not an actor, but I'm saying, like, just reading other people's scripts, it's hard to tell, like, the tone. Like, is this a dark comedy? What is your tone? And she knows exactly what movie she's in, and I think that's her greatest strength, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love her and everything. Royal Tenenbaums. I love the scene where Gene Hackman tells her that he has cancer. And he's like, I'm just kidding. He's like, no, but serious, I do.
She just got that Angelica Houston face.
Yeah, yeah. Great family of actors, period.
Well, yeah.
And directors. And well, I guess John Huston was an actor, too. He's in Chinatown. Yeah. And yeah. Do you know, Jenny, the dude with half a face in Boardwalk Empire?
Uh-huh.
She's her aunt.
Wait, what?
She's his aunt.
Yes, she's his aunt. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The best part of Boardwalk Empire is that.
Yeah.
God, he's so good.
And then also, exactly. And also, Jenny Huston is her brother.
What does he do?
I didn't put that together.
Danny Houston was the Clive Owen's brother in Children of Men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Main bad vampire in 40 Days of Night.
Okay.
Weird pull of the movie. But yeah. Good number one. I'm glad you put it on there.
Yeah.
Jenny.
All right. So recap. My number 5 was Frances McDormand. 4 was Natalie Portman. 3, Sigourney Weaver. 2, Diane Keaton. And my number 1... you know, I go back and forth with if I like her or if I don't like her, but I think she's really, there's a movie that I don't like her in, and she's one of my childhood favorites. So I don't know that she compares even a little bit to Meryl Streep, but I think she's definitely on my top list. And I put Julia Roberts.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's one of my childhood favorites like that. I originally wanted to be an actress when I was younger. Really? Nobody would know that because I don't act like that at all anymore. But it was because of her.
What's that about? How would you act if you wanted to?
I mean, you know, you're like all about the spotlight and want to be center of attention. And I just don't like that.
I guess so. I don't think, maybe not. I don't know if that.
Yeah, you're doing Beckett monologues in the living room. And yeah.
She's a listen, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
So what was, if this is a character from childhood, what was the movie?
Mystic Pizza?
Probably all those romantic comedies that she's in.
Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah, I'm Pretty Woman. Super huge into like My Best Friend's Wedding and
Pretty Woman?
Ocean's 11 and Pretty Woman.
Four Weddings and a Funeral is legitimately great. Yeah,
yes, all those ones. And I think she's hilarious and I love her and everything that she's done. She's not a very... I don't know that I know very many of her serious roles, but all those Notting Hill. And
Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah. I like all those. I'm huge into them.
See, I'm not a huge fan of like the romantic comedy ones.
Yeah.
But when she does like something like Aaron Brockovich was like, man, she's bad. Like, I understand why she's like at the
she
top
can
of
pull
her.
It up.
Yeah, I know why. Oh, I know yeah. why she's regarded as one of the best in her.
Oh yeah,
in her, you know, in
she
her
does
field.
A lot of things that probably she doesn't need to do.
Yes,
like, she just does everything.
Yes,
Mary Lou Lovett.
Yeah,
I don't know that I've seen that.
No, no in that? Real life.
Wait, who?
she married Lyle Lovett.
Everyone gave her a bunch of shit because she married Lyle Lovett. Country star. Singer. You would know him because he kind of looks like Kramer.
Oh, yeah. He's not very cute. That's right.
Yeah. And so,
her,
yeah, so everyone jumped
her
on her case.
Husband. I thought you said Mary.
The,
I thought that was a name of a character.
Oh, yeah. No.
Got
well,
it.
That would be a good. I would see
Mary
that. Yeah.
Mary
Lyle Lovett. Yeah. But yeah, everyone jumped on her for marrying Lyle Lovett, like not understanding that maybe a relationship is based on, you know, a lot of talking beforehand.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, he's not cute at all.
He looks like a rooster.
I like
that's
him,
some interesting.
I like
hair.
Private Conversation. That's a great song.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I'm not a
music.
Big fan. No, not a fan. But yeah,
I love it.
I you love
Lyle
Lovett.
Love it.
But yeah, Julia Roberts. I'm surprised.
I want Julia Roberts.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Childhood sweetheart.
Childhood fave.
Oh yeah, America's Sweethearts. That's a funny movie.
That is a funny movie
with John Cusack. And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like.
She's really funny in that,
Catherine
and it's
Zeta-Jones.
Got Billy Crystal in it.
It's funny because it does. It has Julia Roberts playing like the schlubby sister.
Yeah,
and it's like
she's
yeah.
not.
No,
yeah, that's all. Yeah, the
she
Rachel
puts on a
the Rachel Lee Cook thing.
Yeah,
where yeah you pull
yeah.
the hair back and put glasses on them and they are
whoa
idiots.
This girl's yeah. ugly. Man.
Glasses off.
Tell me this as a guy that.
Try. I just said that I want. Wait, hold on. I just said that I watched the Mummy movies for Brendan Fraser's adventuring outfits, and I was trying to get you guys to watch Smash.
As a guy,
no.
Okay,
me.
As a guy, you always see in like, especially '80s movies or even like American Sweethearts, where like, oh, she's on the wrong side of the track, so you can't date her, man, or like she's ugly because she. But it's like
yeah,
I felt like
Romeo
in high school.
And Juliet thing,
in right. high school, nothing stopped me from wanting to get laid. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, I don't care that she's poor. I don't give a shit. What does that matter? Like, that would be my, like, if I was talking to, what's his name? Some kind of wonderful or Pretty in Pink or any of the 80s movies where you have the character who's like, no, she's poor. Her dad's Harry Dean
Stanton.
They'd be like, so what? She's going to put out, like, who the hell cares, jerk? You're an idiot. You're not going to get laid this year. Like, I felt like there was, like, dumb reasoning for not wanting to date somebody in, like, 80s movies.
Yeah. Well, I think it had more to do with it was what their parents thought.
Because
it's the Romeo and Juliet thing. It's, you know, it's this is what the parents want. They don't want you cavorting with some, you know, substandard lady.
Yeah.
You need to go to Cotillion and do it like a normal young man.
I guess so. It just seems like I would have never had that logic in high school.
No, you're like, oh, she's pretty and she's talking to me?
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic.
Here, she's missing yeah. a leg. I don't give a shit.
We're all in this building.
Yeah. all right. My recap.
Hook. She's in Hook, too. I forgot about Hook. I love Hook.
Yeah, we all forgot about Hook.
I love Hook. That's my childhood movie. I love it. Every movie of my childhood is from this. I haven't rewatched it in
you
a while, no.
Don't. Okay. I will just say, don't.
I won't.
Remember all of those great feelings you
yes.
have. You may still enjoy it. You may not. There's a chance you won't. Remember all the good times you had.
I rewatched Hook.
You don't like it anymore?
No.
It doesn't hold up?
No.
Although Bob Hoskins is still great.
Yes.
Which, and shout out to him, unfortunately.
Yeah. Did you hear about that? He retired?
He was diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bob Hoskins, yeah.
Oh.
So he's not acting anymore.
Okay.
And I love Dustin Hoffman in it. Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was good in that.
Yeah, he's hamming it up.
Yeah. All right. My recap.
You have to as Captain Hook.
I guess so. My number 5 was Joan Allen. Number 4 was Sally Field. 3, Michelle Williams. 2, Madeleine Kahn. And my number 1, I guess I'm cheating a little bit because this lady's a TV star known for TV work. But she's, I think, for me, like, there's never been a point where I haven't laughed at this lady because she's amazingly funny and just her story is amazing. I'm talking about Lucille Ball.
Yeah. Okay.
I love Lucille Ball.
Lucille like, Ball's great.
I guess if I had to make a list of like my favorite comedians or you know, performers, she would be at the top of the list. Like I've never been watching TV and I Love Lucy's on and been like, I'd change it. Ever. I've seen every episode 100 times. I've seen every episode. But every time your TV's on, I'm like, ah, fuck, this one's funny. I'm going to leave it on.
That's hilarious. That's my favorite part. Oh, that's my favorite part in Crocodile Dundee. Like that comment on television culture when he's in the hotel room and he turns on the TV. He's like, yeah, I saw one of these before. And he turns it on and it's I Love Lucy. He's like, yep, that's what I saw.
Yeah. And it's just like, and it's funny. She was trained by Buster Keaton. And once I read that in one of her biographies, like, I'm like, wow, I see that. I see that now in all the episodes and like her physical comedy. I'm like, damn, that's a Buster Keaton move right there.
Yeah, I had never seen an episode of I Love Lucy until I was a kid, and I watched. They had an episode on the airplane that I was on the flight, and it was the Vitamita Vegemin episode, and I just lost my shit because that was the funniest thing I had ever seen up until that point.
And there's no episode where you're like, this is a weak episode.
Yeah.
I guess maybe when you get into the We Love Lucy years, when it changed a little bit and like Desi wasn't in the episodes anymore, it was just her and Ethel.
I think if you watch a lot in a row, they probably get a little old.
I guess
on
so.
On a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but I mean, the way they air them on TV, it's just like, hey, episode here, episode there. But
yeah.
I love Lucille Ball. And just the chemistry, because they had weird chemistry on and off stage. He used to beat her in real life, but the chemistry they had.
Well, everyone did back then.
there's that the Simpsons joke. Hey, you hit her kind of hard there, Rick. And yeah, she's amazing, I think, and she works well. And even like Vivian Vance, who plays Ethel, she's amazing in that. Surprising, no one, a lot of people forget that. Ethel was actually younger than Lucy in real life.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like how Wilford Brimley and Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is the age at which Wilford Brimley was when he was in Cocoon.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Chew on that.
Wow. That blew my mind, dude. Blew my mind.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I love Lucille Ball and every episode of I Love Lucy. It just, and I mean, she did a lot of cool work in movies too.
I don't think I've ever seen a movie.
She was in the original.
She's probably in It's a Mad World for like half a second. Right? Yeah.
She's in the original Yours, Mine, and Ours. Remember they remade that with Dennis Quaid a couple years ago?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
She's in the original one. And yeah. I just love this lady. She's really funny. I love all the guest appearances. She did so well with every guest she had on, like, you know, where whether it was Harpo Marx or whoever, John Wayne. That episode's amazing. William Holden. Man, like she held her own, and she's amazingly. Her physical comedy is amazing.
Her timing is perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's my number one.
That's a good choice.
TV actress.
Nice.
So. And she started really late. Like she didn't get out of Lucy till she was like in her 40s. So very cool. Very cool lady. And is that it? Any honorable mentions you guys want to throw out?
Oh yeah.
Let's talk about
it. Well, because we were trying to this is film centric, and like I said, I can only think of a lot of television actresses. There's S. Epitha Merkerson, the chief on Law and Order.
Yes.
Okay.
CCH Pounder, who was amazing on The Shield. And the voice of Amanda Waller on the Justice League cartoons. Bernadette Peters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love her.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Kristen Wiig. I feel like but it's primarily television. But Bridesmaids was the best movie of last year. I almost put this on my list as an example of a single performance that knocked me out was Rinko Kikuchi. In Babel. I didn't like Babel, like, at all, except for her story, where she plays the deaf, mute girl.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that was amazing. The scene where she's walking through, where she's been given ecstasy, and she's walking through the rave, and she's deaf, mute. That was just amazing. It, just the way that whole, that her whole story played out was just sad, and it was great.
Yeah,
she was good. And she was nominated for that.
She was also good in Brothers Bloom.
She was good in Brothers Bloom.
Yeah.
Yeah, she played a badass in Brothers Bloom.
Yeah, yeah.
Helen Mirren.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Long Good Friday, specifically. No, yes. Shout out to Bob Hoskins.
Yes.
Catherine O'Hara.
Yes.
Will always be funny. She's one of the funniest women alive. Audrey Hepburn. Yeah.
of course.
I was actually surprised no one said Audrey Hepburn.
She's another one that, I mean, I liked her a lot in what she did, but she's one of those ones that I feel like she gets almost a lot more credit than, I don't know.
Oh, no. I feel like the only thing I feel with Katharine Hepburn was like...
I thought we were talking about Audrey.
Audrey Hepburn, sorry. Why did I say Katharine Hepburn? Sorry. Audrey Hepburn. I feel like right time, right place.
Yeah.
I think Audrey Hepburn she has created an identity for herself that kind of carries through different movies.
Yeah.
She like did the same character though a lot. She was good at what she did.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many, I don't know. She's like, I mean, I liked
man,
all the movies.
She's so good
that,
at that though.
Yeah.
Charade specifically. For me, it's Charade.
Charade?
Yeah.
Charade.
Yeah.
Charade makes it sound like the movie Charade was terrible.
No, the remake was.
The remake, which they had. Never mind.
Let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they had on the DVD, they had as a supplemental feature, the original Charade.
Wow. They're like, we know this movie sucks, so we're going to include two movies in one. we know this one sucks, so.
And then everyone said Natalie Portman. And actually, because television actresses, this is a weird choice, but does anyone watch Fringe?
I watched the first half of the first season.
Okay, then I guess I'm in the dark on this one. But Anna Torv on Fringe is amazing.
Okay. I don't know who she is.
She's the lead, Olivia Dunham.
Okay.
But no joke, I think she's amazing on the show.
Really?
John Noble's really good, and he's been nominated for Emmys, but she should at least get something. I'll go and say spoiler alert, even if you haven't seen it, doesn't really spoil anything. At some point, multiple universes come into play.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
And so she is playing like multiple versions of the same person, and it's flawless. It's just so specific. Like, she's great.
You think she'll have a really great career in film?
I don't know. I wish she would. If she was cast in anything, I'm surprised she wasn't cast in The Bourne Legacy as like some female agent.
Oh wow!
Like some commander of a unit or something. Like, I feel like that's probably the role she'll get picked up for.
Like cop.
Yeah,
cop
something
stuff.
Like that. Just because it's similar to what she does on Fringe, and that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
But she was in a Funny or Die video that was very funny.
Really?
Yeah. But she played a cop in that, so that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Interesting.
But I think she's great. I guess, Maureen O'Hara, Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sitting Pretty, though.
Yeah.
It was one of my dad's favorite movies and one I love, where Mr. Belvedere came from, the character.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
I think that's it for me.
Excellent.
Oh, Julianne Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And Myrna Loy. I'll leave with Myrna Loy.
Nora
Charles.
Yeah. Julianne Moore, amazing in A Single Man. The Tom Ford movie?
I did not see A Single Man.
Watch it. She's amazing in that. Amazing. Yeah. And Boogie Nights, of course.
Is that the one? Mm-hmm. Is that Colin Firth or Michael Douglas? Okay.
Colin Firth. Yeah. I love that movie. Some people thought it was... I don't want to get into that. Some people thought it was too... Way, like, way
some
over
people
the top.
Aren't here, so we might as well not get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Jenny?
Nope.
No honorable mentions?
Nope. Pretty much named them all.
I guess Cate Blanchett, which you named. Tilda Swinton, which you named.
Tilda Swinton.
In the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
God, Tilda Swinton is amazing.
Yeah.
She's like an alien actress.
Yes. She's even weird looking.
That was sent here to act.
Yes.
Like, she was an actress on her home planet.
And she's probably...
And now she's here.
I feel like she wasn't even that good in her home planet. And she's like, get out of here. You're not that good. And she came here and she's like, well, I'll show you guys. Bam.
Yeah, she is awesome.
Yeah, she's great. I love her in Constantine. And I love her...
I cannot believe Constantine came up twice.
Yeah.
In something about favorite actresses.
And I love her in Michael Clayton.
Yeah, she is great
in
Michael
Clayton.
Where she's
like preparing her, like, her speech and then you see her... Do the thing. Do
yeah.
Like,
she's like sweating the entire movie.
Yes.
Yeah. She's like The Rock in Fast Five.
Yes. Literally, they buttered her up.
Yeah.
All right. A little bit of business. You can find us on the interwebs at www.thelistfilmpodcast.com. Friend us on Facebook and or Twitter at The Film Podcast. And on Facebook, we're at facebook.com/thelistfilmpodcast. Brandon, where could you find you on the internet?
At BL Bennett on Twitter, two N's, two T's.
There you go. You could find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at Jenei, JEHNEIGH.
There you go. And then if you're going to buy something off Amazon, why not click through our link? Come on by to our website, click our link, and we get a couple cents thrown our way. There you go. Is that it for this week? Anything else you guys want to plug? A blog? Anything you have? No?
I got nothing.
No blogs? All right. I thought you'd have something really cool. And you're like, yeah, I post every time I take a dump. I post it on my blog. I don't know. I just thought something cool like that. But no.
Yeah, but I don't have anything updated.
No. All right. You're like, you haven't taken a dump since like 83.
No, yeah, come to think of it.
all right. That's it for this week. I can't believe we talked for an hour and 40 minutes, just the three of us. Wow. All right.
Sorry.
Sorry about that, guys. I think it was all of us. Yeah. Until next time, have a good week.